The reading is 2 Samuel chapter 7. God's promise to David. After the king was settled in his palace and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am living in a palace of cedar while the ark of God remains in a tent." Nathan replied to the king, "Whatever you have in mind, go ahead and do it, for the Lord is with you." That night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. Are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites up out of Egypt to this day. I have been moving from place to place with a tent as my dwelling. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of their rulers, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture and following the flock to be ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men of the earth. And I will provide a place for my people Israel, and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people shall not oppress them any more, as they did at the beginning, and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. When he does wrong, I will punish him with the rod of men, with floggings inflicted by men. But my love will never be taken away from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Your house and your kingdom shall endure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." Nathan reported to David all the words of this entire revelation. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, "Who am I, O Sovereign Lord, and what is my family, that you have brought me this far? And as if this were not enough in your sight, O Sovereign Lord, you have also spoken about the future of the house of your servant. Is this your usual way of dealing with man, O Sovereign Lord? What more can David say to you? For you know your servant, O Sovereign Lord. For the sake of your word and according to your will, you have done this great thing and made it known to your servant. How great you are, O Sovereign Lord! There is no one like you, and there is no God but you, as we have heard with our own ears. And who is like your people Israel, the one nation on earth that God went out to redeem as a people for himself, and to make a name for himself, and to perform great and awesome wonders by driving out nations and their gods from before your people, whom you redeemed from Egypt? You have established your people Israel as your very own forever, and you, O Lord, have become their God. And now, Lord God, keep forever the promise you have made concerning your servant and his house. Do as you promised, so that your name will be great forever. Then men will say, the Lord Almighty is God over Israel, and the house of your servant David will be established before you. O Lord Almighty, God of Israel, you have revealed this to your servant, saying, I will build a house for you. So your servant has found courage to offer you this prayer. O Sovereign Lord, you are God. Your words are trustworthy, and you have promised these good things to your servant. Now be pleased to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue forever in your sight. For you, O Sovereign Lord, have spoken, and with your blessing, the house of your servant will be blessed forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Right. So today we continue in our series on David, and particularly thinking about David, a man after God's own heart, is the overall theme. And today's theme is leading well, lessons from David, shepherd and king. I am now on my farewell tour, like an aging rocker, going round to Methodist chapels and things like that. Was at Thornborough and Steeple Claydon last Sunday, where at least I have the consolation that if I am aging, most of them are older than I am, although it's moving in their favour as time goes on, those chapels. And today is kind of not exactly the last time I'll be preaching here, but next week is Cafe Church. The week after, I'll be taking time out after the farewell event, but possibly, like aging rockers on farewell tours, I will be back a little bit beyond that. Details as yet to be worked out. For example, I'm in the plan for the last Sunday of July, and we'll probably be doing bits and pieces in August and then finishing. So that's kind of where we're at. Leading well. It's interesting to be talking about that at the end of nearly 12 years, because you might look at me and think he hasn't led well. You might think he has led well. I mean, it doesn't really matter, does it? I can say what I like. I'm going soon. But hopefully the words that I say today will be helpful to you. Hands up, all of you here who consider yourself to be a leader. And don't be modest, you know, we can be false modesty here. Or have considered yourself to be that in the past. I will put my hand up here. Okay, some of us, yes. And some of us know, and that is probably more or less as I expected. There are those who we easily recognize to be leaders. I mean, we would expect it of kings and queens, for example, of prime ministers, of managing directors, of head teachers, of supervisors, of pastors, of elders, of Sunday school teachers, maybe, etc. But are we not all leaders in one way or another? Maybe as mums and dads or older sibling in our home. Maybe as the one who makes things happen in a group of friends. Maybe as one who gives wise counsel to others, whether or not you realize that you give it. And I think the question is not, are you a leader? The question is, what kind of leader do you choose to be? So, as we said, the Bible describes David as a man after God's own heart. David, the shepherd, the king, the one from whom Jesus is descended. And David's named, as you'll know, as the writer of many of the Psalms that we find in the Bible. But it's in Psalm 78, a psalm of Asaph, that he gets maybe his highest accolade. See, Asaph was appointed by David to lead others in the worship of God, and there are 12 psalms attributed to him. And in Psalm 78, that's one we could have read this morning, but there's only so much you can read, isn't there? But Asaph in Psalm 78 takes us through a history of God's faithfulness to Israel, despite Israel's frequent unfaithfulness to God. And Asaph ends by saying, God chose David as his servant and took him from the sheepfolds. From tending the sheep, he brought him to be shepherd of his people Jacob, of Israel, his inheritance. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart. With skillful hands, he led them. That's a pretty good tribute, isn't it, to David and to his leadership. David led by example and was recognized by those around him as one who was a good leader. So what can we learn from David's life about leading well in our own lives? I have to say here that it's quite some months ago, really, that I set the themes for this time, and drawing upon the book that you are using in life groups, those of you who are doing that. And when I came to the chapter on leading well in that book, I looked at the readings and looked at the content and said, not much help there, I thought to myself. Now, you may beg to differ when you come to life groups and to look at those, but it was then really that I decided that I would preach not so much on 2 Samuel 7, but more on a sweep of David's life, which will come to 2 Samuel 7 in the end, and think about half a dozen examples of how David shows us how to lead well. And the first point, really, I want to draw from the life of David is that we should lead faithfully wherever God places us. So lead faithfully wherever God places you. And the reference to this will be 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 11 to 13. In David's day, the role of the shepherd was a very menial one, although for David it was part of the family business. And David did make it his business to be the best shepherd that he could. When Samuel came looking for the one whom the Lord wanted him to anoint as king, David was out in the fields tending the sheep. And we looked at this a few weeks ago. But one by one, his seven older brothers were brought before the prophet Samuel, who kept saying, "The Lord has not chosen this one." Finally, David was summoned from the fields, and it turned out that through faithfully tending the sheep as the youth that he was, God had been preparing him to shepherd a nation. Don't dismiss what you do as unimportant. If there's one thing I've learned from many years of just life, really, but particularly in church life, you ask people what they do, maybe, in the church, and words often start with, "I'm just a," yeah? "I'm just a person who serves coffee. I'm just a Sunday school teacher. I'm just whatever." And it's kind of a false modesty, I think, but it's also a sense that what we do isn't really that important. It maybe isn't really that necessary. I'm just a. So I want to say to you, don't dismiss what you do, whatever it is, as unimportant. It may be unimportant in the eyes of the world, and perhaps certain things do seem of relatively low importance or not something that you really want to do. But the way that you do what you do is of great importance, isn't it? The way that you do that. The Lord may be using what you're doing in this time to prepare you for something more, as he was with David in those years as a shepherd, when as a youth he might have thought, "You know, I'm better than this. Get me out of here." But even if the Lord isn't preparing you for something more, lead faithfully where he has placed you. And wait, I guess, for his will to unfold. So I think that is the first thing to draw from the life of David. Lead faithfully where God places you. But then, second thing I want to draw is from that is that You should lead with courage, rooted in faith. I preached a few weeks ago from 1 Samuel chapter 17 on facing the giants or the giants in your life. Goliath was, of course, the champion of the Philistines, half as tall again as me and twice as tall as Al, as she told us back then. As David went out to do battle with Goliath, to confront Goliath, others ran from the battlefield and this giant, but David ran towards him with courage that was rooted in faith. Who is this man that he should defy the armies of the living God? Were David's words and his attitude. Most of the time, any leadership that we're involved in will not involve physical combat. Thank goodness. It can involve difficult decisions. It can involve outrage at human ways not being aligned with God's ways, anger at injustice, a desire that things should be better. It might involve flying in the face of popularity for the sake of God's kingdom and doing what is right. Faced with a giant who was totally against everything that God was for, David led with courage, rooted in faith. He believed that God had already given him the victory. And for generations since, that story of David and Goliath has served, hasn't it, as a reminder that right can win against might. If we believe the Lord is in our challenging of systems and situations, well, we can take courage from David and we can remember the times in the past when God has acted, including in the life of David, including in our own lives, and let those times give us confidence to move forward in God's will with courage, rooted in the faith that we have. So that was the second thing that I wanted to say. Lead with courage, rooted in faith. Thirdly, lead with humility whilst waiting. This I draw from 1 Samuel chapter 24. As a boy, unexpectedly David was anointed to be king, wasn't he? I can't imagine that he ever thought that this was going to happen to him, and probably he wondered what was happening when it was done to him by Samuel. But there you are, he was anointed to be king. He had to wait years before taking the throne of Judah and Israel. He became king when he was 30, I think, and let's assume that he was somewhere between perhaps 13 to 15, maybe younger than that, but would have waited at least 15 years to take that throne of Judah and Israel. I presume as well that all his brothers saw him being anointed, and obviously his father too. He could have become puffed up, couldn't he, like Joseph, relating the dreams he had had in which he saw his brothers bowing down before him. He could have fast-tracked his route to kingship when hiding in a cave from King Saul and his armies, that when he had an opportunity to kill the king and the encouragement of his own fighting men to do so, to do away with the king. And yet David was conscience-stricken that unseen he had crept up close to Saul and cut off a corner of his robe. And he said to himself, "Who am I to harm the Lord's anointed, the present king?" And from then on, despite constant provocation from Saul, David was content to wait for the Lord's timing with humility. Maybe you are someone who has been marked out to lead in your life, in your church perhaps, or in your career. Perhaps it has happened. Perhaps it yet will happen. Perhaps it never did. There's a sense in which we are always to be waiting on the Lord seeking his will, wanting his way for our lives. I feel like an old man with a long white beard rather than a short white beard this morning. But as I draw near to retiring from full-time ministry, or at least paid full-time ministry, I'm content that the times when the Lord has opened the doors for me have been the right times, and the times when he hasn't, that's also been right for me. God calls us to wait patiently for him, to recognize that he knows best, and know that when the time is right, he will lead us into his future purposes for our lives. And I continue to preach that to myself right now, wondering what those purposes will be. But David led with humility whilst waiting, and that's a further example to us. The fourth thing that David did was to lead by serving others. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Eventually, and I said this was a broad brush approach to David and his life, but eventually the time came for David to become king. Saul has died, and Jonathan, his son, David's great friend, has also died. And in 2 Samuel chapter 5, the tribes of Israel come to David and say, "In the past, while Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel on their military campaigns. And the Lord said to you, 'You shall shepherd my people Israel, and you shall become their ruler.'" The time came for him to lead by serving others as a shepherd to God's people. In one of the churches that I've served as pastor, you'll realize that it wasn't this one. We had a retired submariner in the congregation. It's quite something, isn't it? Submariner. Not only that, but he'd also been a submarine commander. Now retired, although they retire quite young from those things. He still seemed reasonably young to me. But he knew about leading a crew for months on end in confined spaces. He offered me some words of encouragement, and I take these to heart. He said, "Some people lead from way out in front, ahead of the people. Some lead from behind, pushing them forward. And he wasn't seeing either of those as bad things, just different ways of leading. And he said to me, "I see you as someone who leads from among the people." And I wasn't unhappy with that observation. Certainly something that I hope has been true here. But maybe there's something here for all of us who lead, because if we're not among the people, we won't hear what the people are saying and learn what they're thinking. We won't know how best to serve, something particularly for our elders, perhaps. We might ask, what would Jesus, the Good Shepherd, do? What did he do? So we lead by serving others, and in some ways waiting the right turn to serve in particular ways. I think we can't talk of David's life without saying that in terms of leading well, we lead with repentance when we fail. John will be preaching in a couple of weeks' time on life after failure, and I don't want to steal your thunder, John. At times, David did make some terrible mistakes. We know he lusted after another man's wife. He made her pregnant. He tried to get her husband to believe the baby was his. When that didn't work, he contrived to get him killed by having him put at the heart of battle. Then he took the man's wife for his own. And yet, the New Testament still calls David a man after God's own heart. The reason I think it can still do this is down to the grace of God and David's genuine confession and repentance that you find related in Psalm 51. Here's my confession that you know already. I have sometimes got things wrong. And so have you. See, that's the thing about pointing the finger, isn't it? Three fingers point back at us. So I've sometimes got some things wrong, and sometimes so have you. Because we're all sinners, aren't we, in need of a saviour? The mark of a good leader is not perfection, but repentance before God towards one another. And sometimes we should and we have to say sorry. Maybe John, you'll unpack more of that in a couple of weeks' time. So, number six. There are many more points. You might think of other things in the life of David, but I decided that six was enough, really. So, finally, and we do get to 2 Samuel chapter 7, lead with devotion to God. That is part of what it means to be leading well. It's clear that not only is David a man after God's own heart, he also has a heart for God. He recognizes the incongruity of him living in a fine palace whilst the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord lives in a tent. He resolves to build a house, a temple for the Lord to live in. He consults Nathan, the prophet, about it. Nathan says, whatever you have in mind, go ahead and do it, for the Lord is with you. But then, that night, the Lord spoke differently to Nathan, words for David. The Lord reminds David that he took him from being a shepherd to shepherding the people as king. The Lord points out that he never asked for a temple. But nevertheless, the Lord accommodates himself to David's attempts at devotion to him, saying that whilst David won't be the one to build the temple, a child of David's will build a house for the Lord, who will establish the throne of David's kingdom forever. There were times when David did not ask of the Lord in seeking his will. When bringing the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, he did not inquire of the Lord. And a man died as a result. The Ark was carried into Jerusalem in the way that the Philistines would have done so, rather than the way that God had instructed it be carried. He also got it wrong in taking a census of men. He got it wrong without inquiring of the Lord. But here in 1 Samuel chapter 7, David shows that he has learnt from his mistakes. And he has learnt that he must inquire by approaching God's prophet, if not God himself. And he doesn't throw all his toys out of the pram when he gets Nathan apparently one moment saying, yes, do what's right for you to do, and then coming to him to say, actually, that's not what the Lord has said for you to do. He doesn't throw all his toys out of the pram. He accepts the will of the Lord with devotion and gratitude for all the Lord has done. When we pray for the Lord's will to be done, we lead with devotion to God. In my view, we need to pray together as a church as much as we can, knowing that 2 or 3 or 10 or 20 or 50 or 100 are gathered. Jesus is here among us. When we are in tune with God's will, we don't always know, do we, what God's will is as we pray that God's will be done. When we're in tune with God's will, we can pray knowing that God's will be done on earth as in heaven. So lead with devotion to God. Just to recap, without repeating everything I've already said. Firstly, you can say that leading well is about being faithful in small things as well as large. It's also about being courageous in great challenges. And no doubt there will be some of those ahead in a new era of ministry, just as there have been some behind. Be humble whilst waiting for the Lord to move. Be serving the people that you leave in whatever setting you are, whether that be in the home, whether that be in the workplace, whether that be in the church place or other places that you, and amongst other people, you have opportunity to lead. Own up and repent when you fail. That's basically about saying sorry, isn't it? And meaning it. And if necessary, making it right. And then finally, leading well is about being devoted to God always.